Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of June 10th. I'm your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and completely exhausted Melissa Henson.
I wait every week with bated breath to see what you're going to say.
I'm sure you do.
I have been. I've been driving the past 2 days pretty much, well, not totally nonstop. I did stop at a hotel and lay there awake all night listening to my mother snore. I was driving her up to Wisconsin for the summer.
Yeah,
so I'm exhausted, so I'll probably make absolutely no sense whatsoever. It'll either be the most boring show I've done, or it'll be the most flippin' hysterical, because I will just go off.
Yeah, well, and you can tell I'm quickly losing my battle to a head cold. So we're going to be quite the pair today.
Well, before you lose your voice and I fall asleep, let's get this puppy done.
All right. So what has your week in entertainment been like?
I actually, a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago, I mentioned a new show premiering for the summer called The Good Wing Games.
Yes.
And if you had seen me, if this was television instead of just podcast, you would have seen me roll my eyes as I talked about it. Because the premise is these three grown siblings go home to their small town because their father dies, and they have to, like, only one of them is going to get the inheritance, and they have to do all these, like, tasks and competitions and whatever. Ugh, sounds so bad. Oh, my God, no. It is the sweetest, funniest, most adorable show. It is, like, such a huge heart.
Wow.
It's Becky Newton, who people know from Ugly Betty,
okay,
and along with Barney's stripper ex-fiance from How I Met Your Mother. She is flipping hysterical. But Scott Foley from Felicity.
That's right. And
then
Underworld.
C.T. Miller has done a bunch more like sketch and stand-up comedy.
All right.
Anyhow, they play, and they're very like, T.J. Miller's like the screw-up of the family, and Becky Newton's like an actress in Hollywood, but she's done like two guest-starring roles. And then Scott Foley stayed local, but he's a surgeon, and he's, like, you know, the one that's done good. And so anyhow, their father passes away. They all come home for the funeral and then find out that they have to stay there in this little small town and compete. And
like Hunger Games?
Not quite like that.
Okay.
Well, it is called the Good Wing Games.
Right.
That's the best name. Anyhow, Beau Bridges plays their father, and he's all flashbacks because he did a video will. And the point of these games is to bring these three siblings like together, to bring family together.
Gotcha.
It's a little quirky, and there's some other stuff that's a little off the wall, so it's funny, but it's actually a really sweet show.
Nice.
I was very pleasantly surprised with this.
You know, I think I'm getting confused because there's two Scotts from Felicity, right? There was Scott Foley and Scott Speedman. And I think
that's right. See, I didn't really watch it.
So one was like the bad boy.
This is the one that was the original Ben Affleck.
Oh, her. Yes.
Gardner,
okay. Yeah. He was the different guy. He wasn't the guy that was in Underworld. He was the other guy.
No. He's the other one.
Okay.
So anyhow, it's a really sweet. If you like me, like think it sounds ridiculous, give it a try. It might be different than what you thought, and you may like it. And it is available on Hulu. You can catch up with the previous episodes.
Nice. Well, I didn't see it in the theater, but it showed up at the office, and I said, you know what, I'm going to review this myself, which is Sam Raimi's Oz the Great and Powerful.
And bad was it?
Oy.
I mean, I knew it was going to be bad, but I was hoping it wouldn't be that bad.
I'm confounded by the fact that it made so much money.
Oy vey.
I can understand the built-in audience for The Wizard of Oz. It's an American classic, right? I mean, it is a movie masterpiece. Here's my concern, though. The first 10 minutes, from the opening menus on the Blu-ray, through the entire black and white opening before they get to Oz. Now, let me say, they basically remake The Wizard of Oz. All of the steps, all of the things that kind of became...
They follow that formula.
Oh, my God, to the letter.
Oh, I like that.
Well, I thought I would, but it seems so pandering.
Oh.
Now, the first 10 minutes, you would swear that this was Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland.
Okay, and now I know a lot of people think that's a bad thing. I personally think that's a good thing.
I love that movie, but I've seen it. I don't need to see it again. I don't know if I want to see it, I can see it that way, but I don't want to see Wizard of Oz as Alice in Wonderland. The production designer, the producer, they were all Burton's team on this. And Sam is Sam is known for doing his own thing his own way. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he started the indie films. He was quirky. He had his own style. You know, like Darkman and Evil Dead and all this really funky stuff. Now, the opening title credits sequence is phenomenal because it's all like these stick shadow puppet things. It's just brilliant. But then I'm like, why is Sam Raimi doing Tim Burton? Why are you aping somebody else's style?
Yeah, that's true.
The story is, I don't know, it feels force-fit. You have an entire world to explore, and yet the story is so very narrowly focused. James Franco is James Franco. Robert Downey Jr. was supposed to do this film, and he backed out to do Iron Man 3. Yeah. James Franco is not an actor. James Franco is a movie star. He plays James Franco in every movie, and that's what he does here. And it just feels... And I know he's worked with Sam. This is the fourth movie they've done together because he did all the Spider-Man pictures.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But... I think it ruins it. Now, the end of the film was the most satisfying, when he actually becomes the Oz that we meet in the original movie.
Right.
Because, again, this is a prequel to how the wizard got to Oz in the first place. And we get to understand who the witches are and how they...
Right, that's my question. That's all we want to know. Whatever, James Franco, how hot were the witches?
Rachel Weisz looks like she's had some bad plastic surgery.
Ooh.
She looks very Botox-y.
Oops.
Michelle Williams, I know Michelle's a very method actor, and she gets in her head. She just plays this character as very down and very... Glinda is, you know, Glinda in the movie was all very, oh, la la, la la, la la. Well, imagine her off of her meds then, and that's what Michelle Williams plays Glinda here. Mila Kunis has an interesting dynamic. I can't get past her being Mila Kunis playing a character as opposed to actually being the Wicked Witch of the West.
Okay.
It feels very affected. I don't know. I'm so disappointed in this because the potential was there to do an amazing thing. And I went back and watched, actually today, Return to Oz, which was the Disney movie in the 80s.
The Fairuza Balk one?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And that was so bizarre, like darkly bizarre.
Yeah.
Whereas this is very candy-coated, play it all safe, don't really give us any major surprises.
Stupid.
I know, and it just seems like a waste. And coming from a director like Sam, I was very disappointed.
Bummer.
And they're already going to do another one.
All right, then.
So, who knows? But Sam has already said he's not doing it. He's not involved. So
okay.
So, I'm going to get somebody
all
else.
Right.
So, anyways, this street's on Tuesday. And,
okay.
My review will be up on Tuesday.
All right. Well, we're going to get the gist of it, so.
Yep. All right, well, we had some surprises at the box office this week, didn't
okay,
we?
Okay, yeah. What the hell? What's up with all you? I'm slightly impressed, actually.
Yeah.
But, yeah, went to see The Purge.
Well, I think it's the internet buzz. I think it generated its own marketing for this thing.
Yeah.
I heard people talking about it all week.
Yeah, but over $36 million.
Yeah.
Hello.
For an indie horror picture.
Yeah. So, Fast and Furious 6... came in at under $20 million.
Okay.
Now You See Me, $19.5 million.
Yeah.
And The Internship, $18 million.
You knew this wasn't gonna do well.
Yeah. Yeah, I could have told you that. But hanging in there in the top five is Epic, with $12 million.
All right.
Well. So Star Trek just hit $200 million.
Okay.
And Iron Man 4 is that much under $400 million right now.
Just domestic. I mean, international, global, it's done bananas.
Okay, this is just U.S.
Yeah. And After Earth, even though it's only made $11 million here this past week, it made almost $50 million overseas.
Okay.
So I hate to say you foreigners are being suckered into to things. And I don't know, but you're spending money on things that probably not – need to be made.
Normally, I would put more faith in the people overseas than here in the U.S.
Yeah. Maybe not. All right. Well, this week.
Reality TV, but not on this one. Sorry, guys.
This week, we have a Wednesday opening, we have a Thursday opening, and then we have a Friday opening.
All right.
On Wednesday, we have This Is the End from the team that brought us Pineapple Express and Superbad. comes the end of the world comedy starring Seth Rogen, James Franco, Jonah Hill, Paul Rudd, Jay Buchareau, Danny McBride, Craig Armstrong, Michael Cera, David Krumholtz, Mindy Kaling, Emma Watson, and Channing Tatum, all playing themselves.
Yes.
As playing the world comes to an end.
At the end of the world.
Yes. Dealing with the apocalypse.
Playing themselves during an apocalypse.
The buzz on this has been very good. The people who have seen it have said it is hilarious.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. That opens Wednesday. Thursday we've got a crime drama, a 70s crime drama from a French filmmaking team about brothers on the opposite sides of the law. It's called Blood Ties. Stars Clive Owen, Billy Crudup, James Caan, Griffin Dunn, Marion Cotillard, Zoe Saldana, and Mila Kunis.
And I'm going to throw in Lily Taylor because she's
and
one of
Lily
my favorites.
Taylor, yes. Chicago woman Lily Taylor.
So,
wow. Yeah, so that could be interesting. Again, counter-programming, right?
Yeah, there's really nothing there that sounds bad to me. So. Yeah.
And then on Friday, we have The Man of Steel. Or I should just say Man of Steel. Warner Brothers hopes to God this is going to be the next big superhero franchise.
Well, we've all basically seen the entire movie if you've been watching the trailers, because there's like 20 million of them out there.
I know.
Wow.
I am a comic book fan from way back. I have no faith in Zack Snyder. I have no hope that this movie is going to succeed. I had dinner with our writer, Dave Johnson, who's host of Friday Filibuster last night. He is over the moon with glee about this movie, that the boy cannot contain himself. And I think it's going to fall on its face, but I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, I think it's going to do okay, but I mean, it's going to win the week, but by how much?
But is it going to be a good story? Is it going to be an actual Superman story, or is it going to be, you know, this reinvention of the character kind of thing?
And do we care?
I don't know. I don't know anymore. Smallville turned out to be really... Smallville was a nice surprise. Mm-hmm. They did a really nice job with that show. It had its ups and downs, but Tom Welling captured the best of what Christopher Reeve had and the best of what the character had and took it to places which I think were very compelling. I don't really know Henry Cavill. I know what Zack Snyder's done before and have not been impressed. So we shall see. I'm starting to sound like B. Arthur, at least in my own head. My headphones, I'm sounding like B.
Arthur. Okay, quick. Let's get through this while you can still talk.
All right. Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, we already mentioned Oz the Great and Powerful. It's coming in three formats. Basic DVD, Blu-ray DVD combo pack, and then a 3D Blu-ray, which is just that. There's no bonus features or anything, and it's just the 3D Blu-ray.
What a rip.
So don't get hooked into buying the wrong version, I should say, because the combo pack has the bonus features on it. Sam doesn't do commentary, so if you're looking for a commentary, forget it. It's not going to be on there, but there is some interesting making of stuff. Jeremy Renner stars in Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters.
I want to see it now that it's going to be... I would not pay to go to the theater, but I would kind of want to see it. Yeah.
It could be cheesy fun. Aaron Sorkin's HBO series, The Newsroom, Season 1, hits DVD and Blu-ray this week. Netflix original series, House of Cards, with Kevin Spacey, Season 1 is on there. We've got the B-list, more B-list Disney animated Blu-rays. So Atlantis and its sequel, Lilo and Stitch and its sequel, Emperor's New Groove and its sequel. We've got the 40th anniversary of Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon, which is a kick-ass movie. I don't know if it needs the huge box set that Warner Brothers put, but it's there and it's out this week, so if you haven't seen it. And then there's two great John Pertwee vintage Doctor Who, Third Doctors. He's one of my favorites. I mean, I grew up with Tom Baker, but the more I see of John Pertwee, the more I love. So there's two great stories out this week. Over at Redbox, we talked about it last week, Nicholas Holt and Rob Corddry star in Warm Bodies. Nicholas Sparks, Safe Haven with Josh Duhamel, if you like that sappy love story kind of stuff. Jessica Chastain in that creepy horror flick, Mama.
Ooh, yeah.
And then for the kids, you've got the animated family comedy, Escape from Earth.
Okay.
On Redbox this week. New to Netflix, we've got Jake Gyllenhaal in End of Watch. Dave and I actually tried watching that last night. And for some reason, it was coming at a very low bit rate, so it looked terrible. And I don't know if Netflix was having the problem, but Dave's been so hooked on HD for so long, he refuses to watch anything in standard definition anymore. So we turned it off. We watched the hockey game instead. Here's one. De Niro, Brando, Angela Bassett, and Ed Norton in The Score from 2001.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot about that one. On Netflix this week. Matt Damon, one of his first films, The Rainmaker, 1997, with Danny DeVito.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Courtroom.
Yep.
Lawyer-y drama.
Yep.
One. Grisham one.
Right.
Cool.
And then we've got Ben Stiller, Paul Rubens, Hank Azaria, and Janine Garofalo in Mystery Men.
Oh, my
which
God.
Which is one of my favorite, just ridiculously goofy superhero movies.
Yeah, it's so bad.
It is.
It's great, though.
Yeah. And all of those on Netflix this week. Over at Hulu, this is like the Where Are They Now version of Hulu this week. Pauly Shore and Modern Family's Ariel Winter in Opposite Day.
Okay.
So it's Freaky Friday, except the parents switch bodies with the kids.
Alrighty then.
We've got Billy Zane playing a rock star with really long, greasy hair, who gets involved with Estella Warren, who wants her own 15 minutes of fame in Blue Seduction.
Ooh.
And then Tracy Nelson, daughter of Ricky Nelson, or sister of Matthew and Gunnar Nelson,
mm-hmm.
In the Lifetime original movie The Rival.
Oh.
So she's shot during a robbery and loses her unborn child and may never be able to get pregnant again.
The horror.
Okay. All right, that's all I've got for streaming this week.
Okay, well, you go rest your voice, and I'll talk about TV this week.
Thank you.
Monday on NBC, the winner is... It's a new reality singing competition, but this one's hosted by Nick Lachey.
Well, so. He has become the reality TV host. He did some military thing last summer.
Yeah, he's
like Dean Cain and yeah
stuff, but he's actually on tour right now. That I love it. The package tour.
What?
New Kids on the Block, 98 Degrees.
Oh, my God.
Anyhow. Tuesday, ABC Family, Return of Pretty Little Liars, and a new show called Twisted.
Okay.
And then A&E. Man, they have more wars, in quote marks, on A&E than, like, you know, third world countries. This one's Shipping Wars.
Oh, my God.
Returns for a new season on that one.
FedEx versus UPS or something?
Oh, yeah. It's like small companies who have to ship weird things.
Okay. Gotcha.
There you go. And Sunday, man, we got like a zillion things. Whatever you are in the mood for, you got it Sunday night on TV. The Miss USA competition on CBS. PBS on Masterpiece Mystery has a new Inspector Lewis series.
Oh.
And then True Blood premieres on HBO.
Yeah.
Nurse Jackie and the Borgias, which it's the Borgias' complete finale on Showtime.
Yeah.
This week. And The Client List is season finale on Lifetime, which is good because Jennifer Love got herself knocked up.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah, so she's going to be playing the whore and skimpy stuff for just a little while.
Oh,
all right, music. Again, whatever your taste, you got it this week. We got some big stuff. 13 by Black Sabbath.
Oh, wow.
Is out, along with Magnetic from the Goo Goo Dolls.
Okay.
And Sirius Radio is actually playing Best Thing About Driving With My Mom. She has the... satellite radio, so I got to listen to 80s music most of the way. But they actually were playing the whole album this weekend early.
Oh, nice.
So you could check that out before you can listen to it Tuesday. But then Harry Connick Jr., Every Man Should Know. And then, well, if you're 13, this is big for you, 24/7 by Big Time Rush.
Oh, it's big for Dave Johnson, too, because he's a fan of that show.
So, well, and big for me and a lot of us who listen to, you know, music, alternative stuff in the 80s. Alison Moyet, who was part of Yazoo, or known as Yaz.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has her own solo album called The Minutes out this week.
Oh.
And then the Whack album, is a CD with a bonus DVD by the Lonely Island guys. Which, if you don't recognize that, it's the SNL video.
Yes.
So they have some crazy stuff.
All right.
on that one. And then we spoke of Man of Steel.
Yeah.
The soundtrack for that by Hans Zimmer.
See, and again, they're trying to do the Christopher Nolan thing because he did all the Batman movies as well.
Yep. So, and if you haven't gotten enough of the Tonys, Scandalous the Musical, the original Broadway cast album, is out this week.
All right.
Books, we don't have to say it again.
Oh, wow. This is a record.
Yeah.
He's on vacation.
It's like reality and TV week. Jeff Probst, the host of Survivor,
yeah,
has the second book in his young adult series.
What?
Trial by Fire, Stranded. It's about kids stranded on an island.
God.
All right. And then number three in the Fame Game series, Infamous, by Lauren Conrad.
What?
The Hills and
everywhere
else on MTV. Oh, well. They are reissuing Tiger Eyes by Judy Blume because the feature film of that book is out.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And that's the first movie of hers to be adapted.
They tried to make Deanie, I think, a while ago, and it just never made it.
Hmm.
She's had TV shows in her books, but first movie, and her son directed it.
Oh, no kidding.
The script with her.
Wow.
So, yeah, Tiger Eyes is one of my favorites of hers. Bill O'Reilly has a new one. Kennedy's Last Days, The Assassination That Defined a Generation. And a new Doctor Who book. Doctor Who, Whoology. So just a bunch of info and facts and stuff. For you Whovians.
That's right.
Then, fans of The Walking Dead, there's volume 18 of the comic book.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Blood, Drinks and Bites. It's food and drinks based on the truth. So you can go pick that up, you know, especially if you TiVo'd or whatever. True Blood. So you can pick that up, make your stuff, you know, watch True Blood this coming week.
Yeah.
All right. So theater news, I told you I would have a lot for you this week because the Tonys hosted again by Neil Patrick Harris.
Who I guess took
more Sunday night.
Yeah, I guess he took a shot at Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to flip through some of the bigger ones.
Go for it.
And you can just go, obviously, online and see the entire list at tonys.com. But leading actor?
Yep.
Tracy Letts, who's afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Nice.
So excited for that one. Yeah, Amy Morton didn't win, but Cicely Tyson for The Ship to Bountiful won actress.
There's a legacy award right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you can't really complain if you lose to Cicely Tyson.
Right.
Performance by actor, leading role musical, Billy Porter, Kinky Boots.
Oh.
Actress, leading role musical, Patina Miller-Pippin.
Mm-hmm.
Live of a play, Virginia Woolf. Best play. Which means a straight play, not musical.
Right.
But Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike. Best musical, Kinky Boots.
Nice.
Revival musical, Pippin. Let's see. Courtney B. Vance and Judith Light won.
Oh, wow.
Featured actor and actress. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. Andrea Martin won actress, feature role musical. And Gabrielle Ebert for Matilda. The musical, one actor, featured actor. Best direction, Pam McKinnon for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Nice.
Director of musical, Diane Paulus Pippin. Book of musical, Matilda, which was Dennis Kelly. Best original score, Cyndi Lauper for Kinky Boots.
Oh, sweet.
Cyndi Lauper.
Good for her.
How cool is that?
Good for her.
Yeah. So, and all the, you know, scenic design and costume design and all of that. Kinky Boots really kind of cleaned up. They won choreography and sound design and orchestrations.
Is she an EGOT?
What?
Because is Cyndi Lauper an EGOT? Remember the Tracy Morgan thing where it's the Emmy, the Tony, the Oscar?
She won Emmy for Mad About You.
Right, that's what I thought. Now she's got a Tony.
What's the face's ex-wife that showed up? She was great in that. I wonder what she's won.
I'm sure she's won Grammys, right?
I don't. Sometimes you don't really know.
Yeah. I don't think she's ever been up for an Oscar, but
no.
But that would be the last one.
Yeah, I don't think. What was the psychic one with Jeff Goldblum? I don't think that was.
Well, that was a terrible movie. Such a terrible movie.
With that, but yeah. So congrats to all the winners.
Yeah.
Like I said, Tony.com, you can see.
Yeah. Neither one of us got to watch the show this year, unfortunately. So. All right. Well, moving over to entertainment news. Again, we're starting a little bit of sad stuff because Michael Jackson's daughter, Paris, reportedly attempted suicide last week.
Mm-hmm.
And the courts are now, of course, looking into Katherine Jackson's ability to effectively care for her grandchildren.
Right. Yeah, it's sad, but God, what that girl's been through.
You know, and you would think of the three of them, she seems to be the most well-adjusted. I mean, she was doing well in school. She was an athlete. She was starting to get involved in the business to do what she wanted to do. But again, you're right. You're surrounded by all of these people. You don't have any grounded life. And things, you know, are going to go off the rails. And if you don't have the support system, well, you're the mental health professional. If you don't have a support system to lean on, you're floundering.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's been tough since then, too, because do you remember this whole thing? It was like beginning of the school year or whatever, that the older kids, like, quote, kidnapped Mrs. Jackson.
Oh, yes. It was.
And, like,
they took her to Reby's house.
And watching Michael's kids and this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, it went kind of crazy, and she was, like, getting in a fight with Janet in the driveway and, like, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah, we just. Yeah, can't wish her the best. And, you know, again, whether she actually tried to kill herself or it was a call for help, whatever. Who cares?
How old is she?
Hopefully. She's still a teenager. She's high school.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. She actually was cast in a movie, and they have said, because they aren't shooting for a while, that they will do whatever to kind of keep her in it.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just about but what those kids have been through and stuff. And it's interesting because there have been reports that she's been hanging out with her biological mother, Debbie Rowe.
Oh, that was the nurse, right?
That, you know, gave birth to those two oldest.
She was a surrogate, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, she was more than that. She's literally their mother.
Well, that's what I mean, but yeah.
In vitro, but yeah I mean, she had them. For Michael, you know, for the two of them to have together, but she's been involved with Paris's life since Michael died and has been there for her. So I don't know. I can't imagine going through all those kids have gone through.
No, I mean, we have absolutely no idea of what that life is like.
And again, she's just like a teenage girl, and I'm sorry, teenage girls are all crazy.
Well, and we all have our dark moments.
I was one too.
Yeah.
I'm talking about myself, but yeah.
Well, and more sad news, Olympic swimmer turned movie star Esther Williams died this week at age 91. But 91, I mean, come on, the woman lived an incredible life and had no intention to be a movie star, and yet she wound up making all of these movie musicals where she was this bathing beauty and defined a whole genre for herself.
Yeah.
We've been talking about The Wizard of Oz. Warner Brothers announced earlier this week that they are upgrading The Wizard of Oz to 3D IMAX for a theatrical release for the film's 75th anniversary in October.
75th,
and you know that is going to make a buttload of money.
Yeah, I'll totally go see it.
Yeah, because how many people have never seen The Wizard of Oz on the big screen?
Yeah, that's true. They do some sing-along stuff.
Yeah,
the past few years, but I'll shell out some money for that one.
Yeah. In casting news that's leaving me scratching my head, John Cusack will play Beach Boy Brian Wilson. In the story of his fight with depression, while Paul Giamatti has just been signed on to play his therapist, Dr. Eugene Landy, controversial therapist at that.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
So wait, how much weight is John Cusack going to have to gain?
I don't know. The press release said that it's John and Paul Dano will be switching off playing Brian at different points in his life.
That doesn't work.
So
I mean, maybe it will. Maybe I'm totally off. Yeah. That just sounds like... not good.
But Brian's a big dude, so what do? Put John in a fat suit?
That's what I'm saying. Like, and especially during that point they're talking about.
Yeah.
He was like a shut-in.
Yeah.
Okay. I will wait to see it to give my verdict.
It's not a studio picture.
Who am I kidding? I love John Cusack. I'm not going to see this.
It's not a studio picture. It's an indie film. I don't think
maybe
it's
been those weird things like that Bob Dylan where it was like Cate Blanchett.
That was weird.
And yeah. Maybe there's just some weird crap like that.
Could be.
All right.
Could be. Speaking of weird, J.J. Abrams and his Bad Robot production company have secured the rights to an unproduced Rod Serling script. Rod Serling, who created the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
And they're going to develop it for television.
Cool.
Now, they're not releasing any details of what the script is or, you know, what the plot is. But
yeah, whatever. We'll see. J.J. and Rod Serling. Who cares?
J.J. seems to have at least one or two television series in development any given season, whether they get picked up or not.
He got to. You never know what's, going to get A, picked up, and B, last at all.
Yeah. One of the big surprises for me, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, the first chapter, the three, turned out to be really good. I really enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting to. The teaser trailer for the second installment, coming out at Christmas time, The Desolation of Smaug, will be released with Man of Steel. Big surprise there. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you're going to be so happy about this, but the Wendy Williams show has been renewed through 2017.
Oh, yay! How say I don't care.
But my favorite story of this past week was the follow-up to Michael Douglas's throat cancer thing, where his ex-wife proclaimed that her hoo-ha was clean as a whistle, so she he didn't get it from her.
Nice.
Oh, boy. All right. That's all I've got for news.
All right. Well, Bruce Jenner came out. He was walking along, and of course, somebody stuck a camera in his face. Like, he doesn't have that normally enough. But, like, was talking about Kanye, and he's like, I've only met him once.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't know the guy I've only met. Like, made it seem like he's never around, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And so then TMZ went and pulled up, like, this whole row of pictures.
Oh, shit.
Of public events where he was for Bruce Jenner and Kanye, in the same picture, but they're together.
Oh, he's such an idiot.
Yeah, so I don't know if he misspoke or if he's just Kanye's so inconsequential, Bruce has forgotten.
He's developing Alzheimer's.
Who knows what the deal is with Bruce Jenner, man?
Too many Botox shots. It's starting to affect his brain.
Yeah, it could be it. So anyhow, so yes, Bruce Jenner has met Kanye more than once, just to clarify.
All right. Do we have a contest this week?
We do. It's called Masquerade. Mm. It's like a horror-y, thriller-y, whatever. It's from Korea.
Oh, all right.
But it's swept Korea's version of the Oscars.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, we've got three winners for that one this week.
Okay. Dawn Hunt is working on the review for that as we speak.
All right.
And before we go this week, I want our thoughts and prayers go out to our own editor, Tom Becker, who is undergoing intense cancer treatment this week. And so we're all keeping him.
Yeah. You're the praying kind. Yep. Say one of those. If you're not like me, just send those good vibes out.
Yes, please do.
We'd really appreciate it.
Yeah. And as always, we thank you guys for tuning in and for reading the reviews at DVDverdict.com. And until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
This is the bend before the break. This is the mercy, not the grace. This is the proof and not the faith I try to find. There shouldn't be a good in goodbye.